Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and industry leaders bringing Broadway and theater around the country back to life. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to Andy Senior Jr. He's a director, filmmaker, and actor who made his professional acting debut in the national tour of Rent. And after appearing in the show on Broadway, on the West End, and around the world, he's gone on to become a director whose work includes stagings of Rent in Tokyo and in a groundbreaking production in Havana, Cuba. It's his experiences in Cuba, personal, professional, and political, that are chronicled in Revolution Rent, the documentary co-directed by Senor and arriving on HBO this month in a premiere time to the 25th anniversary of the pioneering Broadway musical. Senor is in the virtual studio with me to talk his ongoing connection to the show, the thrills and challenges of making the documentary, and what to him is still revolutionary about Rent. Hey, Andy. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Gordon. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. So before we talk about the movie and your experiences in Havana, I wonder if you could begin by telling us first just about your experiences as an actor with Rent. How did you get to Rent? How and what in your background sort of led you to that point?
Yeah, well, you know, with Rent, I made my professional debut when I was 22 years old. I played the role of Angel in Rent on the LA company, which is the second national tour. Went on to do the same role in the West End company in London, and eventually made it to Broadway in 2000, where I did it thousands of performances. I stayed many years on and off, and then toured through Asia, left the show, came back. And then we did a farewell tour with Adam and Anthony from the original cast. And then I became the associate director on the Off-Broadway revival, then went on to put up the show in Korea, Japan, and it brought me to put up the show in Havana, Cuba in 2014, which for me was, very, personally relevant because I am of Cuban descent. Both of my parents are from Cuba. They left during the revolution in 1959, and I was born in Miami, Florida, and, raised in a community where dealing with the Cuban government in any kind of way or going to Cuba was frownly looked upon, including my own family.
Right. Yeah. What are your memories of going back to when you were in Rent? What are your sort of signature memories of that time in your life, maybe particularly on Broadway or when you first started doing it?
When I was 22, it was my first job. It was my first time making money, although I would have done it for free. I was in the hottest, biggest show on Broadway and in recent history. And I had come out as gay just around that same time. They dyed my hair white. I was changing my clothes. I was like a musical theater rock star kid having the best time. You can imagine all the memories that come with that can happen when all those things come together. But what I mostly genuinely remember is the sense of love and community and acceptance and belonging. I felt like all those things happening, it's like I got to be realized out in the world as who I knew myself to be.
Yeah. That leads me into my next question, which is what your impression of the impact of Rent in general was in terms of the audiences that you were interacting with, maybe after the show or even during the show, and what you feel like Rent meant at the time, not just to you, but to all these people coming to see it.
Well, you know, Rent for that whole generation was a, how do you say it? It spoke to a whole generation, and there was so much going on in regards to the HIV crisis. You know, I think from my generation, which we got a lot of the heavy education, and there was a lot of fear that was instilled into my age group, that and that there was a fear of what it meant to connect with someone. You know, when I was starting to learn about my own sexuality, and I could, you know, could speak for that from my friends, you know, that came with like thoughts of, does that mean that I'm going to, you know, die of AIDS? Like, that's what, you know, the very, what do you call it? Young thinking, and education that I had, that's what it was at that time. And so I think when Rent came along, it was like, it was a place where it was not a place, although it felt like a place, right? But it was speaking to that generation of those frustrations of connecting and loving. And it also was like, you know, when I first saw Rent, it was the first time I saw two men loving each other and taking care of each other. Right. At the same time, I hadn't seen images like that before. Does that answer your question a little bit?
It does. Yeah, I imagine that's part of what went into your decision to sort of stick with the show as long as you have. You did, and you have. What mm-hmm. You know, that's a thing that some actors do and some actors do not. Why was Rent, and in particular the role of Angel, the right one for you?
Yeah, you know. Well, one, you know, had I been able to, let's just put it this way. At one point on Broadway, I was the only Hispanic actor in a leading role on Broadway. And that went on for many years. Oh. So in a career where you're like, no, you don't go back into the ensemble, you know, because you're playing a leading role. It's like, yeah, but where do I go from here if there are no other roles that are available to me? Right. So you continue playing if you want to continue doing what you love, you continue doing it. At the same time, how lucky am I that what I get to continue doing is Rent and playing that particular role. Yeah. So one, it was definitely, you know, I had opportunity to go to, you know, Louisville, Kentucky and do, you know, a musical that didn't really mean much to me, but after doing Rent, how do you even do that? You know, Rent very much spoiled me in the material and the kind of people that are cast in that show, and what the show is and the message that it is, and how truly truthful it is, that it can spoil you in a way that's very hard to do other things sometimes.
Yeah. And now, as we're all looking back at Rent, you know, 25 years on, this is part of the anniversary, I feel like Angel in particular is a role that's really interesting to look at now, just because our understanding of gender has sort of moved so yeah. far beyond what it was in the, you know, late 90s. And I just wonder, what for you was your understanding of Angel and how Angel identifies at the time? And has that changed at all now as you think about the show and as you direct the show?
As a Cuban kid from Miami who had never seen, you know, a drag queen is what I saw, like when we, you know, drove past the bar, and it's like, oh, look, there's a drag queen. That, and to me, it was like, you know, as a young kid, it was a scary thing. And when I got, you know, and I was in a fraternity, I was a Latin boy, and like, you know, homosexuality in the Latin world, it was something that just wasn't, you know, openly accepted. So though I was gay, and so when I was cast in the show, that was a whole journey for me that I had to, like, what is it? Like, okay, I put on, like, you should have seen me in my heels the first few months. I looked crazy. And the cast were like, what are you doing? I looked really crazy in those heels.
How so? Tell me.
I just could not, I could not walk. Like I was trying to walk as I did in a pair of heels.
And this film reminds you that there's that Angel has that leap onto the table with the heels, which I've forgotten about. I mean, that the degree of difficulty is already very high for that role.
Absolutely. Like, and just put it this way. It's like, all of a sudden, and you know how quick tech goes, like they put on rehearsals, they put on makeup on you, they put on the costume and heels and go. And I was like, I've never been in drag before, or dressed as a woman, or dressed in that kind of clothing. And then I had to ask myself questions. It's like, does Angel, you know, what is Angel? Is he a drag queen? Is he a transvestite? Is he like all these terms that were like floating around? So yeah. I think when I leaned into outside terms and so forth, it confused me more. When I got to the heart and soul of who this person, of who this human being was, and how that human being existed in the world, and what, as a result of that, what was the cha-cha-cha, but not in the, you know, tacky cha-cha-cha, but what was the deliciousness that it brought out in me? When I leaned into the human qualities, that's where I started expressing myself in the role in an authentic way, versus trying to fit into an idea which was so limiting and was so, and didn't lead me to anything fruitful.
Right. Yeah. And so let's talk about this production in Havana, which was a really big deal back in 2015 when it happened. How did it come about, and why was it such, for people who, you know, maybe can't quite remember what was going on in 2015? Why was it such a big deal?
Well, The Nederlander Worldwide, which is led by Bob Nederlander, they were doing some programs with Cuba where they were doing something called the Broadway Ambassadors, where they would take Broadway stars to go do concerts in Cuba. And that was sponsored by the Ministry of Culture in Cuba. That program went so well that they decided that they wanted to put on a show. And so they're like, yeah, okay, great, let's put on a show. So what show are we going to do? And, you know, Bob was like, they're probably going to want to do West Side Story or something. And they were like, we want to do Rent. Which was like incredibly surprising for him. And, you know, in retrospect now, like, Cuba does really edgy theater and very, like, very interesting and out of the box theater. So their choice of doing Rent was, you know, not so revolutionary for them. Interestingly enough. And so when they chose to do that, that's when my name came up, not only of course because of my, you know, experience with Rent, but I'm also being Cuban American, and they were all excited about what that would mean for them.
And you clearly started thinking about the documentary early on, because there are scenes in the film that take place even really before you've accepted the job even. And so tell us about at what point you decided to turn it into, or start filming anyway, and what was your thinking that you would do with this footage?
Well, if you notice in the beginning of the film, you see me go ding, 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 December 21st. I say like 21st or September. I don't know what I say, but I'm filming myself at 22 years old.
Right.
I've always, throughout the many years associated with the show, I've always been the one that was always filming. Even in one of our tours, I had this like whole food blog where I would, like, you know, Adam Pascal and I would go eat sushi, and, you know, we would film ourselves eating sushi. So it was filming the journey was always something that I was doing. And the Rent heads, the fans loved that. They were always really grateful for sharing the journey with them. So when I was filming, it wasn't so much like I'm going to make a documentary, but I was like, I'm going to capture this and maybe I'll do little episodes so I can share this with the Rentheads. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to make a big film out of it. And until, you know, as I started to get to know the cast, and as the things started happen, as I mean, remember, like, it was just one camera and a phone.
Yeah. And
that's it.
Was it you? There's a co-director on this film. How did that?
Yes,
how did
Patrick.
You work with the co-director? Yes. Tell. How did he get involved, and at what point was he?
Yeah. So I knew that, you know, I was like, my main mission in Havana is I'm going to be putting up the show. So I can't be like, you know, filming myself and doing this. So I was like, all right. So I reached out to Patrick. I didn't really know Patrick, but he was a friend of a friend. And I was like, hey, are you crazy enough to come to Cuba with me and bring your camera and just film and, you know, and see what happens? And he was like, yes, absolutely.
Right.
So yeah, Patrick graciously signed up for it. You know, there was no money involved or anything. It was just, let's just put this together.
Right. Yeah. And one of the most striking sequences in the film happens pretty early on when you're sitting down at dinner telling your family about this opportunity for you to co-direct Rent in Cuba. And they do not react with particular enthusiasm, or many of them don't. And so I tell us about some of what informed their reaction and what was driving you to do it.
I think what informed their reaction, if I'm going to be 100% honest, is that they knew that anything they said was not going to make a difference. Why? Because had this been about any other reason that was not Rent, I probably would have had listened more and been like, you know what, maybe you're right, or maybe not have even gone. But the fact that they wanted me to put up Rent,
right.
That was not negotiable. That was going to happen.
Right. We should say at the time that, that relations with Cuba were not what they are now. They are what they
at all.
Were.
All no.
the, yeah, there was. And your family still carries all those memories of, you know, your mother carries all those memories of her experiences there.
Absolutely. And right. You know, she was definitely terrified of how that was going to go, and her own memories of Cuba for her, and the, you know, very, very painful departure for her, and hadn't gone back. So it was very tough for my mom, particularly. But she also knew that the love that I have for the show, and I love the love that I, what this show does for people and for audiences. And she knew that I was going to go do it.
I'll have more with Andy right after the break. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And now, here's more with the co-director of Revolution Rent, Andy Senior Jr. So you had a sense of probably going in at the time what the impact of Rent could be and how it could affect, you know, the audiences and the people who perform it. But what surprised, and once you got there and started doing it, what sort of did you find that really resonated about Rent with the folks who were both doing it and watching it? What surprised you in the reaction of that particular, of those people in that place at that time to the show?
Yeah, you know, I think that they were able to see themselves on stage in a certain way. Although these were American characters in New York City, I think that the issues that they were dealing with the characters in Rent are dealing with were not very far from the issues that they were dealing with themselves, particularly for the actors that live such lives that are so mirrored by the characters in the show, whether it be that they were, you know, some of them were HIV positive, the way they put their homes together, even in the own theater, like all the electrical appliances were all plugged into one thick extension cord. Same as in the show. So a lot of the themes in the show were themes that the actors and the audiences themselves were dealing with.
Yeah, that's one thing. What you just mentioned was something that I really think is really fascinating about the film, is you get this glimpse into these people's lives in a way that feels really intimate and feels, it's very notable to see how as you say, their lives mirror what's going on in Rent and the different ways that everybody, you know, is able to live and the conditions they live in and things like that. There is, what was sort of enlightening to you about that process of sort of getting to know all these folks as you were at the same time trying to, you know, get them to put on a show?
I think, you know, at that time I had this like viewpoint where I'm going to go in, I'm going to teach them this show and I'm going to show them the way, quote unquote, and to arrive there. And I'm going to do this edgy show in Cuba. Dun, 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 and put my American flag, and you know, like, and what I learned was like, whoa, it's like they schooled me on what this was. I mean, in every possible way, I just had to. My biggest job with them really was to help them understand the medium, because they, you know, they had never done a musical before, so train them in what that takes. But when it comes to understanding the material, we had to do some substitution work, you know, acting 101 stuff. But for some concepts, like, you know, what you own when they're talking about living in America, you know, that's, they've never been to America, so they don't know. So substituting that with something like Cuba, they are then able to understand more. But you know, the core things that they're dealing with in Rent, they informed me, really.
Yeah. And there's it almost feels like a twist in the film, in that there is a very large sort of political event that happens, that, you know, halfway through the movie, that sort of changes what happens, and like includes a whole arc of your family. And looking back on that, what's it like to relive it now as you're putting this movie together and watching it, you know, 6 years later?
That was the moment where I was like, everything that I have done in my whole entire life has led me to this moment. That day when Obama made the declarations of the normalization between the two countries, and we're, you know, just days away from opening, and we've been filming this whole entire thing, and that was that life moment. I don't know how many people have that moment. I hope everybody does at some point in their life. But like, I was like, everything that I've ever done in my life has led to this moment right here. Everything.
Yeah. No pressure. That must have been a lot at the time.
it genuinely was like all those things, like Rent and theater and my family and Cuba and politics and everything. I was like, and you know, for me, it validated that leap that I took, because it really was a leap of faith. And it for them, that was the moment. I felt like Obama was like, good boy. Right. here you go.
Yeah. And so that was now 6 years ago now, that production. And how, tell us a little bit about the development of the film since then. Like, when did you start trying to put it together? What was the journey there?
It took a really long time. For many reasons. A lot of time we just didn't have money. Finally, we got, you know, Neil Patrick Harris is the executive producer on the film. So he gave the first big initial investment, and that was like, okay, great, we could get this movie done. And And then just the process of making the movie was very difficult because we had to, all those themes that we've been talking about were very hard to balance in the storytelling. Yeah. And then we started, doing the festival, going the festival route. And then, this festival, no, it's not quite there. It's not quite there. It's not quite there. Mm. And then there was like a year or so in there. It's a spoiler alert, so I can't really say, right?
Okay, yes, true. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
It was personally difficult, but mm-hmm. still putting continuing forward and having more reason to continue to put it forward because that came out of nowhere, right. And unexpected as well.
Right.
And then finally being able to put it together and then premiered at Doc NYC and Miami Film Festival, and then for it to get picked up by HBO is like, and then it gets picked up and they're like, okay, a year from now, I'm like, let's go. But how perfect on the 25th anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only the 25th anniversary of Rent, but we've all been through a pretty extraordinary 18 months. What in particular strikes you as really resonant about Rent right now? And also, your own journey with it.
You know, it's incredible. Right now, Rent is it's a perfect time for the show to emerge. Having just gone through the pandemic, and all, there's so many losses. My boyfriend lost his father, and so it's like I think everyone has been personally affected by the virus. So I feel like people would understand the show in a very deep way right now. Also, the kind of message that we need right now, the world has been so splintered up that there's such a need to come together as a whole. And I feel like that's something that Rent really speaks to, and despite our differences, right? Like, so I feel like it's a great time for the show, and it's a great time for the show to be celebrated in its 25th anniversary. And I love that the film gets to be a part of that celebration.
Yeah. As you're looking at the film and sort of reliving all those memories, what struck you as you're putting up that show in Havana, what struck you as the challenges that would be the challenges of any other, putting up any other production of Rent? And what do you feel like were specific to that place or that group of people or that time? Mm-hmm. What really like stood out to you about the particular sort of obstacles that you had to sort of surmount to get that show up?
Well, there were definitely a lot of technical challenges. Some that were unique to Cuba, like we're rehearsing and then the power goes out completely. And I'm like, well, this is Rent, so this is perfect. and then just like, it's like, okay, so we don't, there's not much that we can put, there's no budget to do this with. So let's just get the scaffolding and get this. And we need a ton of Christmas lights. So, on a flight, somebody comes in with a suitcase from Miami full of Christmas lights so that we can, do all this, the set decorations. But from the actor's standpoint, what was really difficult was to get them to become a group, because I think that they think so individually. Grant, of course, because there's the need for individuality and self-expression there. It's a life or death situation for them there, like literally life or death, their self-expression. That forming a group was really challenging and difficult, and it really took something.
Yeah. And that's part of what people get the chance to see in the film, actually, is that process, which is the movie is out this month on HBO. But what's next for you?
What's next for me is I'm continuing to work with the Ministry of Culture. We're talking about, now that it's possible. We're hoping that it will now be possible again to re-engage. We're starting to talk about what's the next project that we can do. And as far as myself, there's others, I'll always be continuing to work in theater. Now I have a love for documentary. So
I was just going to ask if that this created an interest in exploring more documentary filmmaking.
Absolutely. I love it. It's mm. it's such a playful medium. Like there are no rules. Like you could use anything. It's like, it almost feels like collage work. And I really do love it. Mm. And I'm curious to see how Revolution Rent lives in the world and what that opens up. And I can say that I hope something calls to me the same way that this project did. That just like it, that isn't like a, oh, should I do it or not? That it's like it just grabs me by the heart and pulls me forward, because it's the only thing that there is to do. Because I think that to me is an exhilarating life.
Yeah, and as theaters start to reopen, and we start to think about going back to the theater, and you're talking about shows that you could maybe do in Cuba again. What are your hopes for Broadway? Well, and Havana and any, for theater everywhere. What are you hoping sort of changes or continues to grow in the coming years?
I hope that for theater in the world is that people get, like, it's like with Joseph Papp at the Public, right? Like he wanted to create theater where the people in the neighborhoods could see themselves on stage. And that has always like stayed with me. I hope that the world can see themselves not only on stage, but backstage and producing and directing and creating. I hope that's how we can collectively tell our stories together and take the time to listen to each other's stories, even if they may be very different from our own and even different languages. Because there's just so much to learn from there and to experience. It's traveling. And for Cuba, for Cuban artists, I want nothing but a freedom of self-expression, and in their art and in their souls and in their humanity to be everything they want to be and say everything they need to say and create a country, and a world that works for them. And that they, so that they could love their lives and do what they're passionate about.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to that day and to seeing what's next from you, both on stage and on screen. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thank you, Gordon. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
That was Andy Senior Jr., whose film Revolution Rent is now streaming on HBO and HBO Max. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes or subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @gcoxvariety. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.